Here we go now, baby. We are right back to the action for another day of the week. Welcome to the Monday edition of Before You Bet right here on the Coverage YouTube channel. Make sure you smash that subscribe button right down there. And it gives me great pleasure to say that we are once again coming off of another winning show on Friday's episode Before You Bet. So absolutely flying. So I made fun of myself on the top of Friday's show because I took the Raiders to go under their team total of 19 and a half. What did they do on Thursday night? They went out and scored 63 points. Think they got into the 60s anyways. Who would have predicted that? But anyways, I go 10-2 with my picks yesterday, 2-0 with my picks on Saturday. So absolutely flying up over 40 units on the season, easily my best NFL season ever. So we're going to try to keep that winning energy into today. A little bit of a tricky game to handicap here, right? Because it looks like Geno Smith probably not going to play. But the big X factor, I guess you could say, Jalen Hurts, his status is up in the air. He has an illness. So no updates on that yet. If you hear anything, let me know. But we've still found a couple spots to bet on for the game, a couple different props here. So we're going to get into that. There's a bowl game today and tomorrow. We're going to get into that with Brad Powers, and there's a stack schedule in the NBA tonight. So we're going to get into that with our guy, John Mettler, at the tail end of the show. Guys, if you are in the live chat right now, let us know what your best bets are for tonight. Let us know what you're betting on. If you like the show, it's easy to let us know. Hit the like button right down there. Make sure you are subscribed to the Coverage YouTube channel. Lots of great content here. Let's get into it here with my first guest. Let's bring him in his traditional Monday spot. Our guy, J-Lo. We're going to be talking a little Dallas Cowboys later. He is a fan of the Cowboys. Not too happy with their performance. But how you making out here, buddy? You in the Christmas spirit or what?
Getting there. We had a little Christmas festivities on Saturday at my place. And the house is all decorated. So, yeah, I get most of my shopping done. So I'm just kind of sitting pretty here for the next week.
Okay, so Monday Night Football tonight, we have the Eagles in Seattle taking on the Seahawks. Like I said, a bit tricky to handicap when you don't know if Jalen Hurts is going to play or not, but between the two of us, we have three prop picks. I might have more later in the day if they announce that Hurts is going to play. I have a few that I like if he does play, so keep your eyes peeled to JTFOZ on Twitter or X, because I might have a few spots there. But J-Lo, you have two, so I will let you hit leadoff for us. What do you have for your first bet for Monday Night Football tonight?
All right, and I'll precursor both of these bets with there were some rumblings coming out of the Philadelphia locker room, and those rumblings said that they weren't happy with the offense and that it was too predictable and they were reliant too much on the deep pass, and they need to do something to shake it up here because after those two losses to San Francisco and Dallas. And I got to think those rumblings probably came from the quarterbacks or the running back, sorry, because those guys did not get to touch the football that much in the last two games because the Eagles have been blowing out. So we'll start with one running back prop there. Bring her up. I forget what one we're going with first. Yeah, there we go. DeAndre Swift, touchdown anytime. This one's as high as plus 163. It's down as low as like plus 110, plus 120 range at some books. So shop around and find this good price out there. But Swift, a threat to score a touchdown, with or without Jalen Hurts in the lineup, and obviously should Hurts be ruled out and sit out this game with that illness, he's a much, much more viable red zone threat as well, too. So some good chances of him finding pay dirt. We look at Seattle's defense. They've allowed 16 total touchdowns, that's on the ground and through the air, to running backs this year. That's tied for third most in the NFL. Their red zone defense, also among the worst in the league, 26th in red zone touchdown percentage allowed. And like I said, the Eagles trying to complement their deeper passing plays with the short run and the short passes after the players were saying the playbook got a little predictable. So I expect to see a wrinkle here. We had the coaches respond to it, and they were like, yeah, okay, we got to shake things up. And Seattle seems to be the team to do that. So I like Swift to find the end zone tonight.
Okay, my favorite prop tonight, I'm going to go with Seattle receiver Jaxon Smith-Njigba to go over his receiving yard total, 42 and a half yards. So the Eagles are getting absolutely killed by wide receivers this year. They're allowing the third most yards per game to wide receivers, 193.7 yards allowed to wideouts. Darius Slay out for the Eagles. That won't help matters at all. Smith-Njigba averaging 47.8 yards over his last nine games, and a big game might be coming for this guy. So he's topped this number 42 and a half in six of his last nine. He had a handful of games with seven or more targets, catches up 30 plus in three of his last six games. This could be the week for him to go off versus a weak secondary here. Obviously, there are lots of mouths to feed with Seattle pass catchers, but he has had more targets than Metcalf and Lockett in each of the last two games. He had a season high versus Dallas, 11 targets in that game. Looks like Drew Lock will be playing in this game. Team high, 7 targets to Drew Lock versus San Francisco last week. So I think things are really trending in the right direction for this guy. So I'll take him to go over his receiving yard total up 42.5. Okay, J-Lo, prop number 2 from you. What are you looking at?
Going back to the other running back for the Eagles, and we're going to go with Kenneth Gainwell. We're going to go over 8.5 receiving yards from Gainwell. I'm not asking for a lot here, just over 8.5 receiving yards. But the Brian Johnson playbook, like I said, criticized for being too reliant on those deep balls and really having tunnel vision. If we look at last week, Jalen Hurts, all of his passes but one went to either A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, or Goddard, the tight end. So they got to spread this around, and Gainwell able to find some space underneath against a Seattle team that runs the second highest zone rate in the NFL. So they're going to be protecting against the deep ball. It's going to offer up a softer zone underneath for him to hit those soft passes and pick up the yards after the catch. Gainwell has been the preferred pass catching back out of the two versus him and Swift since week 8, 16 targets. And if Hurts is out, Marcus Mariota, the backup quarterback that's going to come in, they're going to shorten things for him and simplify for him. And that's going to make Gainwell an even more appetizing receiving option. We look at his player projections for Gainwell too. They all call for 10 or more yards. There's some out there that call for more than 13. He had a great day against the 49ers, had 42 yards receiving before getting 0 targets, very little action in that game against Dallas last week. This one expect to be a little more competitive. I expect the running backs to have a bigger role as they try to make something a little different happen on offense here.
Okay, so those are our picks for Monday Night Football, but keep your eyes peeled to our Twitter feeds. If Jalen Hurts is officially in, that could change things here a little bit. So hopefully Hurts does play. Make for a more entertaining game, most likely. Okay, J-Lo, it is now time for everybody's favorite game. Your take on my take. I have a lot of takes. Some takes are ice cold. Some are pretty good. A few weeks ago, I said that Trevor Lawrence is overrated. How'd he look last night, especially in the first half? He looked overrated to me. So let's get into a few of these that I do have. So let's talk about your Dallas Cowboys. Hey, I wonder if the Cowboys will be a popular topic in sports media today and this week. I think so. So my take on the Dallas Cowboys, not going out on a limb saying this, is this team, absolutely, you cannot trust the Dallas Cowboys at all. Just when it looks like maybe they might be turning a corner, they get a trademark win last week versus the Philadelphia Eagles. They laid the smackdown on them. Mm-hmm. Just when that happens, they get their ass kicked. A complete no-show performance on the road in Buffalo. They lose that game 31-10. Dak had absolutely nothing. We got to remove him from the MVP discussion altogether after what we saw yesterday, because they also got spanked when they went on the road to San Francisco. It's one thing if you lose these games, you're an underdog, you're on the road. If you lose, no big deal. But if you get the absolute living shit kicked out of you, that's a completely different story. So you can't really take them serious. You combine that with epic meltdowns that they had in the playoffs and each of the past couple of years. Mm-hmm. And my conclusion when thinking about the Dallas Cowboys is do not waste your money with any type of futures bets when it comes to the Cowboys. Plus 950 to win the Super Bowl. Don't do that. Plus 475 to win the conference. Do not do that. Do not waste your money. So you're a Cowboys fan. I know you can be hard on your team sometimes, but what do you think? Don't trust the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, especially in these home away splits. Like they're dramatically different when they play inside Jerry's World to where they play on the home to, or where they play on the road. So the playoff seating is definitely going to be interesting if they can get some home games and if they can play indoors rather than outdoors come January. But there's no shame in losing at Buffalo. Like that it's a tough home field. That's a good football team starting to ramp up. There's no shame in that. But I will say there are 3 plays, and Dallas absolutely handed them this game. Buffalo played well, but Dallas absolutely gift-wrapped this game early on. So I'm going to go through the 3 plays if we have time to do this, because this is the why you can't trust, okay? So they had a roughing the passer on a 3rd and 4 in the red zone. It would have ended up being a field goal attempt, but it gave Buffalo a fresh set of downs. They scored, I think, on their next their second next possession. They had a roughing the kicker on a punt that gave the ball back to Buffalo, resulted in an extended drive that then went for a touchdown. And they had them in a second and 19 on their own 38. And Allen sailed the pass over the receiver. Kearse came over and clocked the receiver, got an unnecessary roughness call, 15-yard penalty. Again, they got the ball. They went on another extended run, scored a touchdown. It was 21-3 at the half, and that's how they got those points in that half. You know, worst case scenario, maybe they should have held them to two field goals. Maybe it only would have been 6-3 in a completely different ball game. But it made it 21-3 at the half. They went on a 12. So it was 12 plays, 7 minutes, 11 plays, nearly 5 minutes, 11 plays, 5.5 minutes. Just chewed up time of possession, put Dallas in a really bad spot. And that's, they had to get away from Tony Pollard, who was running the football so well. And that should have been the game plan right off the bat, was just run the ball down the Bills' throats. They had to go one dimensional. The Bills were able to game plan for that. Dak had to throw the ball. He didn't look good throwing into a pass coverage that was just waiting for him to throw the ball. So, you know, as much as I want to give credit to the Buffalo Bills, I want to just point the finger at Dallas and just say that's stupid, stupid, careless football, and it cost you that game.
Okay, your take on my take number two.
Ooh, eat it.
I'm getting hot with this hat on here too. So by the end of the show, both Nathaniel Hackett and Arthur Smith should be fired. Not sometime this afternoon, by the end of the show. I'm surprised I haven't got an alert on my phone yet to say that one of these guys has been fired. So let's talk about Arthur Smith first. This guy is a complete and total joke. I thought that this guy was supposed to be some sort of offensive mastermind, yet here we are in year three with the Atlanta Falcons versus an absolute cupcake schedule this season. The team is 6-8. Falcons, offense, 26 in scoring, 26 in offensive touchdowns per game. Three games this season where they scored 7 points or less. This guy's handed nothing but offensive weapons year after year in the draft. Bijan Robinson, 8th. Drake London, 8th the year before. Kyle Pitts, 4th the year before that. This team needs a spark. They can still get into the playoffs if things break right for them. So get Smith out of there. Give them a spark. Why do we see these reports week after week that Arthur Smith, his job is safe unless they have some type of a meltdown? We keep seeing that every week. I don't understand. This guy absolutely stinks. As for Nathaniel Hackett, I'm done talking about this guy after I bring him up every other week on the show. This guy is an absolute disaster. Last season with the Broncos was no outlier whatsoever. Yet leave it to the New York Jets to sweep in there and hire a guy to lead their offense who has been historically awful in both the red zone and on third down. The Jets are the only team in the NFL that is averaging fewer than one offensive touchdowns per game. They had 103 yards versus the Dolphins yesterday, who were without three starting members in their secondary. And this team needs to grow a backbone and tell Aaron Rodgers to kick rocks, because we know that why Nathaniel Hackett is sticking around there. It's because he's buddies with Aaron Rodgers. And here's the thing. I don't want to hear about the backup quarterback. I do not want to. We're in week 15, week 16 of the season. That's not an excuse. This is the year of the backup quarterback in the NFL. We have guys like Gardner Minshew and Jake Browning out there winning and putting up points. Some guy named Tommy DeVito, who no one ever heard of before this season, he's getting wins, not yesterday, but he's getting wins for the Giants. Josh Dobbs gave the Vikings a spark. Will Levis has had his moments. Get rid of Nathaniel Hackett. So what do you think of my take that those guys should be fired by the time we're done the show here today?
Yeah, I think last time we talked in like mid-October, and we said Hackett should be fired then, because you've had, since week one, since he went down, to make some sort of adjustments to help this situation out. And they haven't done that. But he's not going to be fired because, like you said, the whole Aaron Rodgers thing. So it's not going to happen. Hackett will be there next year. And if they fail, then they'll point the finger at him and he can be the scapegoat. He's not going anywhere. As far as Arthur Smith goes, you mentioned like the schedule that's set up. They're losing a lot of these one-score games, these close games. I have never seen, and this maybe it only happens when I'm betting on the Falcons, but I have never seen a team, especially with Desmond Ridder, just F up in the red zone. Like they F up. They throw red zone interceptions. They have fumbles when they should be like running it. Like, I don't know how many times Ridder's run for the goal line and fumbled it or had a close call at the end zone and not scored. So there's just a lot of these like bad habits that keep getting picked up that aren't getting corrected. And this division is ripe for the taking. T- Tampa Bay and New Orleans have aging rosters with not a lot of room or trades or anything to really improve. Carolina, at least, you know, if they figure out this Bryce Young situation, is at least 2 years out from being competitive. So it is ripe for the picking right now. I think I don't think they're going to fire Arthur Smith right now, because that's going to be a negative shakeup when they need some positive things. But I could definitely see him leaving. You know, go and get Ben Johnson from the Lions. They've got all their draft picks for this year. They're not bequeathed to anyone else. They can maybe move those up. Go kick the tires on Justin Fields and see if the Bears are thinking Williams, or if they want to actually run with Fields. You're going to have an opportunity to go score a franchise quarterback, because I think Fields is still a good option. So, and I think their ownership group is committed to winning. And like I said, that division is ripe for the picking, but Arthur Smith just is not getting the job done at all. So I don't think either of these guys get fired by the end of this episode. I don't think either of those guys get fired by the end of this season. I think maybe we'll see Arthur Smith, at the end of week 18, maybe get the axe if Atlanta doesn't make the playoffs.
Okay. Take number three here for us, J-Lo. This is more of a personal take. Maybe you can relate. Maybe some of the viewers can relate. Sure. But the week 16 NFL schedule is an absolute disaster for those of us who have families. At first, I thought it was great. Oh, the holidays are here. Going to get to sit down and watch some football. But then I thought about it. How in the hell are we supposed to pay attention to all these games? Oh, sorry, kids. I don't have time for you on Christmas Day. The NFL is on. Oh, sorry, family. I would like my Christmas Eve and Christmas dinner served to me in front of the TV while you guys all eat at the table like normal people do on the holidays. You just can't do it. So I'm all excited. I'm like, all right, great. The Cowboys and the Dolphins are playing this Sunday. That's a huge game for both of these teams. It's a late afternoon kickoff. Most decent people who have families are going to miss the second half of this game. So I think it's an absolute disaster. I'm not one just to complain, though. I think I have a solution. What I would have done, so there's two games that are taking place on Saturday. I would have put the lion's share of the games on Saturday, still put a couple games on Sunday, the Christmas Eve, and then you're going to have a couple games on Christmas Day as well. But if you're a young guy who doesn't have a family, I'm sure you might really enjoy the situation. You have two screens going on Christmas Day with the NBA and NFL on the other. I think it's an absolute disaster. What do you think?
I definitely think there's going to be a lot of dads checking their fantasy lineup at the table, doing a little bit of this one. I've been that dad before too. I mean, spend your Christmas however you want to spend your Christmas. It's not me to say whoever. However, I, as myself, as a dad who has two kids that are younger in age, this is prime Christmas. And Joe, I know that you can identify with this too. You only get so many of these. It's like Halloween. You only get 10, 11, maybe, of these prime Christmas years. So for me, I'm not giving those away. Like Cowboys. And here's the thing. I have an excuse. My daughter is a Dolphins fan. So I was like, we can turn on the TV and sit down and you and dad can watch the game. And blah, blah, blah. No, I got in-laws coming at right around kickoff, like 4 p.m. They're going to be here. For me, there'll be other NFL games to play. I only get so many of these Christmases. So that's me. This is prime Christmas, prime time for Santa. I'm going to be there for every minute. So
there you go. Respectable family man right there. We're talking before the show though. The solution for me, I'm going to do the thing. I have to do this maybe once a season where you record a game and you just ignore your phone and everything else, all other forms, so you don't spoil it. So I'm going to have to record Dolphins, Cowboys, probably throw it on at around 10 o'clock at night. But
so here's what I do most of the cooking in our house. My dad did it in my house. Well, I do it in my house. And so it is an awesome excuse to say, I gotta go do some cooking. I gotta be in the kitchen, and then I can just put it on my phone and put it there. Maybe put my earphone in. I can just listen to the game and watch a little bit. And then I'm not missing anything. So
there we go. Okay. Really quickly, let's look into some of these week 16 games, kind of rattle off a few of them, then we'll get right to Brad Power. So a couple look aheads that I kind of like, I didn't lock these in yet, but I like the Rams -4.5 on Thursday night with the Saints in town. I kind of like the over 44.5 in that one as well. Colts -2 at the Falcons, who we just talked about. Commanders Jets under 38. I like that quite a bit. What caught your eye here for week 16?
Yeah, definitely that Rams game where it's at 4.5. This is the first time since November 19th that the Saints are actually going to play on the road. And if you look at the teams that they've beaten up the last 2 weeks, it's the Giants and the Carolina. So they're stepping up to play one of the hottest teams in the NFL right now. So I definitely feel you there. I took the over 41.5 in the Houston-Cleveland game. And we look at what the results were from this past weekend, both unders. However, if you look at both of these teams, they both put up 340 yards of offense. They just didn't punch it in. They were combined 2 for 6 in the red zone. A couple turnovers. This game is inside. CJ Stroud probably going to be back in the mix. That he was out with a concussion. Now he's had 2 weeks to get back. We look at Cleveland's defense. Best at home, worst on the road. Yeah, this is an indoor game as well, too. And we're seeing Joe Flacco put up some good numbers for this Browns offense as well, too. So I like the over in that. I think it has ticked up to around 42.5 or so. And then the Patriots, fading the Patriots on Christmas Eve, because do you want to watch the Patriots play the Denver Broncos on Christmas Eve at 8:15? No. Do you think the New England Patriots want to be in Denver playing the Broncos on Christmas Eve in a game? Some of the extended forecasts look pretty messy, too. We're looking at snow. We're looking at wind gusts up to 22 miles per hour and the feel like temps around 12 degrees. There's a couple different weather models that have different information, but that's the worst one that I've seen. And then if you're the Patriots, not only do you have to cross the country on Christmas Eve to play this game, but then to get home in time for Christmas, you're getting a plane at probably 1 o'clock in the morning, taking a 5-hour flight back, getting in around like 6 or 7 o'clock in the morning. Your family's going to be there waiting for you to show up on Christmas morning. You're going to have commitments and all of that stuff going on. So with the way that things are in New England right now, I don't think the Patriots want to have anything to do with this game.
Yeah, you're seeing a couple teams this season. This past week, week 15, we saw both the Chargers just completely throw in the towel. And you kind of saw a little bit of that with the Jets as well. So who knows what type of motivation the Patriots have. Maybe the whole Bill Belichick on his way out, maybe that gives them a little bit of a spark, at least on the defensive end. No, their offense has nothing. We saw that yesterday.
I don't see them showing up for this game whatsoever. There's zero motivation. There's more motivation for them to absolutely suck and try to score a top three pick.
Yeah, the Broncos have been much better on their home field as well. Okay, J-Lo, we will leave it at that. I'll catch you a few more times this week, the Sharp 600 on Wednesday. Then we will be recording. We're doing a Before You Bet Christmas Day special. We'll be recording that towards the tail end of the week. So we thank you very much for joining us. Best of luck with the bets tonight, and we'll catch you later in the week.
Thanks, buddy. Take care.
Yes, sir. Great insights from our guy. He absolutely crushed that today. Let's not keep the man waiting any longer. Let's shift gears here to college football. We have some bowl games to discuss down there in sunny Las Vegas. Brad, are you in the Christmas spirit here or what?
No. Yeah, if I won all my football bets, yeah, I can get in the Christmas spirit real quick. But it's just another typical football week for me.
Okay. So let's get into this. We have a bowl game kicking off here in a couple hours here, then one tomorrow, the famous Toastery Bowl. So this is one we discussed last week. You gave out Old Dominion -2.5. You advised people jumping on that early, and you definitely beat the line movement on that one. It's all the way up to -6.5 against Western Kentucky here. So remind the people as to why you thought this line would move, and do you think this much of a line move is warranted?
Yeah, so there was whispers that Western Kentucky's quarterback, Austin Reed, might be out for this game. Wasn't totally obviously priced in when we gave this out the last time I talked to you on Thursday. And then it indeed was the case. It broke yesterday that Austin Reed will not play in this game. And it's just not that. I mean, the quarterback, obviously is worth 3 to 4 points, in my opinion. That's how good Austin Reed is. He's been one of the nation's leaders in passing yards each of the last two seasons. But on top of that, you have three starting offensive linemen out for Western Kentucky. So you got a young quarterback making his first start, and you got an offensive line that's a mass unit. That doesn't bode well for the success of Western Kentucky's offense. On top of it, they got three defensive starters out for the game. So all in all, do I think it's warranted? Yeah, because Old Dominion played the tougher schedule and statistically was a superior team to begin with. So am I running the window to bet it now? No, but if you have to get involved today, derivative market, team total, Western Kentucky under 21.5 makes sense to me.
Okay, there you go. Maybe a good spot there from Brad. Okay, so let's talk the game tomorrow. It is the Frisco Bowl, Marshall versus UTSA. We have a 12-point spread. Marshall is the underdog here, a total of 53. What do you think? Any leans for this one?
Yeah, Malik Marshall, bet numbers, not teams. We'll take the 12. Now, me and Andrew a couple weeks ago did this video, and it was UTSA like -9. It's moved 3 points. So, again, you know, different numbers. I'm going to have different leans. It's not one of my favorite bowl games that I bet so far this bowl season, but it's just tough laying double digits when UTSA lost their best defensive player. He was a conference player of the year. And, you know, generally speaking, with so much uncertainty in bowl games, get with that uncertainty, do I want to be on the lay when it comes to double digits, or do I want to be on the take? I'll take the big number here with Marshall.
Okay, Brad, something I haven't said to you yet this season. Let's talk a little Sun Belt Conference. So this past weekend, we saw some subpar performances from three Sun Belt teams. And you think that there's some potential here that this could impact some market movement for the rest of the Sun Belt teams. We have a handful of them playing on Saturday. Tell us why that is.
Yeah, so this is something really to monitor because Old Dominion's from the Sun Belt today. I like them. The market obviously loves them. And obviously Marshall, I still lean with them. But let's just say Old Dominion today against a MASH unit of a Western Kentucky team. If they underperform, don't cover, or you know, worse yet, lose the game outright, I think you will see the market start getting aggressively moving against all the Sun Belt teams. Because let's go back to Saturday. Three Sun Belt teams played. They all underperformed severely, in my opinion. Georgia Southern was facing an Ohio team without their starting quarterback and five other offensive starters. Georgia Southern got destroyed in the game as a favorite, lost by three touchdowns, were never in the game. App State almost lost outright as a favorite to Miami, Ohio team with a third-string quarterback. Louisiana, it looks okay. They were a three-point underdog, lost in overtime by three. Louisiana had three defensive touchdowns and still lost a football game. That is very hard to do. So if Old Dominion doesn't perform well against a terrible Western Kentucky team, at least a banged-up one with a bunch of opt-outs, we got seven Sun Belt teams on Saturday. They're going to start getting played against almost, you know, right across the board in the market.
Okay, some good insights there, Brad. Let's finish with a question I have for you about the 2024 NFL draft. It's shaping up to be a really interesting draft here. We have the Bears and Patriots and Cardinals, the top three teams. If the season ended today, they would be the top three teams picking. And what's interesting about that is that two of those three teams, they might have the quarterback that they want to build around. Justin Fields playing a lot cleaner. Kyler Murray still owed a lot of money. And, you know, he still has potential. His ceiling, he's a really good football player. He gets hurt a lot. We know that. But those teams might not be looking to draft quarterbacks. If you look at the odds right now, the top non-quarterback to go number one overall, it is Marvin Harrison Jr. at 20-1. I don't think that's a good bet, because I think if it is the Bears or the Cardinals that have the number one pick, they'll trade that to a team who will want to pick a quarterback. But Marvin Harrison Jr., how do you think he stacks up against other top college receivers that have come out and been drafted pretty high in the NFL draft, like Ja'Marr Chase and Jaylen Waddle back in 2021? It's kind of risky with some of these wide receivers, because we do see some real misses with guys going in the top 10 quite a bit. Corey Davis went fifth overall, 2017. John Ross went ninth overall. Corey Coleman, Kevin White went seventh to the Bears. Now, he's obviously better than those guys, but how do you think he stacks up as a prospect? You think he's an absolute lock to become a star in the NFL?
Well, I don't think anything's an absolute lock, you know, in today's day and age. But he is, not only from a talent aspect, one of the best wide receivers of the last 10 years, at least. And I'll keep it safe in that regard. You could even go further back than that. And I know wide receiver is not a position where you want to draft guys in the top 10. There are exceptions to the rule. And I think Marvin Harrison Jr. qualifies for that. Number one, has great size. Number two, has great pedigree, obviously, with his dad. Has decent speed for a guy that size. I think he could have even been better this year, but had to play with a subpar quarterback. Don't believe me? There's a reason why the Ohio State starting quarterback's transferring out of the program and going down to Syracuse. So I think this is a guy that saw a lot of double teams, still was able to be productive. To me, if I was drafting and I had to, my job was on the line and I had to go with the most talented player, plus add in the fact maybe the safest bet as far as being a productive player, maybe being a future Hall of Famer, Marvin Harrison Jr. would be pick number one if I was a GM. That was my criteria, and I needed to fill any position on the team. He'd be that guy. Second would be Joe Alt, the left tackle out of Notre Dame. Yeah. Those to me are the two safest picks in the draft this year.
Imagine you put Marvin Harrison Jr. on the Bears with DJ Moore on the other side. Justin Fields, like I say, is playing cleaner football. The Bears offense or defense is coming around a little bit. So yeah, it's going to be very interesting. You know, we talked about all those, some red flags there with Caleb Williams. So it'll be interesting to see what happens here in the coming months. But Brad, we'll leave it at that. We will see you again on Thursday, though. We'll have a bunch of bowl games to discuss then. So best of luck with your bets today and tomorrow. We'll catch you again on Thursday.
All right. Take care, guys.
Yes, sir. Some people in the chat weighing in. Corey H. says families are overrated. I'm sure a lot of people feel that way this time of year. And T. Lee weighing in. JSN line. Down to 37.5 at DraftKings, man. I got the worst of the number. That must have moved based on Drew Locke being announced as most likely the starter. I hate that when you get the worst of the number, but still, he had more targets than anyone else with Drew Locke there last week. So at 37.5, yeah, I still really like that quite a bit. Okay, let's move into the National Basketball Association. The self-proclaimed king of prop betting, John Mettler. Now he's more modest than that. So, John, we call ourselves the Sweet Boys, but you were, I believe, the Sweet Boy, singular, not plural, on Friday. Was it 7-0 that you went with your prop picks on Friday?
Yeah, 7-0, 3-0 from the show, but I gave more out on Twitter, and we went 7-0. We got the opposite. And we played the one Pacers prop with the idea the Pacers might blow out the Wizards. We went completely the other way. The Wizards blew out the Pacers, and Denny Alva ended up sitting because of that.
So. Yeah, what is going on with the Pacers? So, yeah, that is the way she goes sometimes. So, but we have six bets between the two of us, so let's get right into those. John, I'll get us started off. And speaking of those Pacers, I will be fading them with the Los Angeles Clippers in town tonight. I'm going to take the Clippers to cover as a three-point favorite here. So very ugly losing streak here for the Pacers. The Bucks beat them by 14. The Wizards beat them by 14. They were a double-digit favorite in that game. And the T-Wolves beat them by 18 points last time out. So crashing pretty hard after their surprising run in the in-season tournament. The Clippers, meanwhile, seven-game win streak. Lots of wins versus quality opponents lately. Turns out the James Harden experiment is working out pretty good. So what is the path to victory here? Significant defensive gap. Last 10 games, 8th versus 26th in opponent EFG percentage. 7th versus 29th in points allowed in the paint. Expect a lot of easy buckets for the Clippers, not just in the paint, but at the free throw line. Over the last 10 games, Pacers are dead last in opponent free throw attempt rate. So I think we see the Clippers continuing to roll and cover that -3 spread. John, you have a player prop that you like for this one. Paul George, what do you got?
Yeah, it's funny how we keep syncing up the spreads with the player props because it's kind of like the same handicap a little bit. So Paul George over 3.5 assists. It was -140 when we came on air here. So like you just said, easy buckets at the rim. That's just what you get when you play the Pacers. So the Pacers have kind of decided here, like defensively, they can't take away everything. They can't take away much. So their best thing they're trying to do is they're trying to run people off the three-point line. I think there's kind of their strategy has become, if we can get teams to shoot less threes and we make more threes, that will kind of be like where we make up that point differential. So that's kind of been like their defensive strategy of late. That really plays into a Paul George assist prop because, you know, he's a good three-point shooter. So if they're overplaying him at the three-point line, he'll be able to blow by, create shots for other people. You know, instead of him shooting, we should see him passing a little bit more. But the best part about playing the Pacers is it's really easy to finish at the rim and you get a lot of points in the paint. So Paul George, when he dishes that pass off of, you know, when they run him off the three-point line, he should be giving it to guys who can finish at the rim easily. And he also has teammates who can do that, like Zubac, even Westbrook, he can get downhill. There's just a lot of players on the Clippers who can convert those potential assists of running Paul George off the three-point line into actual assists. And it should be fairly easy against this Pacers defense, just with the strategy they're playing. From like a betting numbers standpoint, it was -140. That was the best price when we came on. It is probably going to bump up to 4.5. I'm sure some people have already asked me on Twitter what I think about the 4.5 at plus money. The 4.5 with the same projection I'm using on the 3.5 would be about +115. So if you can beat +115, you can go after the 4.5, but I'm playing the over 3.5.
Okay. So Paul George over. Okay. Next up. So I've seen a bit of a pattern developing on social media, people making fun of the Detroit Pistons. And I think that is very rude. What have you done with your life that's so special? It's easy to sit on your couch, stoned out of your mind, making fun of these young men, professional athletes. I'm going to rally around the Pistons tonight and take them to cover this plus 11 spread versus the Atlanta Falcons. This is too many points. These teams last played on November 14th. Atlanta won by six, but we're only up by one with about a minute left on the clock. The Hawks are a team that cannot be trusted with this many points. They're 2-9 ATS as a favorite, 0-6 ATS as a home favorite, 1-9 against the spread in their last 10, 0-8 against the spread in their last 8 at home. So both these teams stink defensively, but the Pistons have actually been better. Last 10 games, Atlanta is last in opponent EFG percentage. Pistons 28th. Not good, but still better. Not that big of a gap offensively either when you look at the shooting numbers. And the Pistons are getting a lot more from their bench lately, 10th versus 24th in bench scoring over the last 10 games. So when they get to the second units, don't be surprised that the Pistons have a nice edge. Let's rally around the Pistons, right, John?
Yeah, I bet them over their win total. So that's probably going to go down as one of my worst futures bets ever. So
there we go. The winning streak starts tonight.
Yeah, I need the
covering streak.
26 more wins.
Okay, yeah, they've been playing possum. Sleeping giant here, the Detroit Pistons. Someone who's playing a little bit better than the Pistons here this season, SGA. You have a prop for him. What are you looking at?
Yeah, so he is playing really good. Like, he's MVP candidate, clutch player of the year candidate, all those in the futures markets. I am going under, though. So this is the next two picks are a little scary to hit the button on. I'm sure some people might just pass on them in general. So I'm going under SGA, under 6.5 assists against the Grizzlies. He is passing the ball and getting a lot more assists this season than in previous seasons. He's on a heater right now. He's gone over the total in 6 of the last 7 games. But also for that reason, it's pushes his total up 6.5 and like heavy juice on the over. So even I think earlier in the season, maybe the first week of the season, I played an over on SGA and put on Twitter, and it was 4.5 minus 110 for the over. So just think about how much this line has changed for SGA. It is matching, you know, his performance. So specifically to why I think he can go under against the Grizzlies have, you know, the Grizzlies aren't winning. They're actually like mid-tier in defensive rating. They're not terrible on the defensive end of the basketball, but they're very good at protecting the interior and the paint. So when you're having an inflated assist prop like SGA does here, and you're at, you know, 6.5, we need 7. And then the Grizzlies also bring in, you know, rim protection, shot blocking, easy dump offs, all of a sudden aren't getting finished at the rim. Maybe they're not even there for him to get those. You're now relying more on jump shooting. That's kind of like a little bit of a problem for like when, especially when it's a total so much higher than it's used to for that specific player. The price is really good too. I don't think SGA is going to be like, the offense is going to be centered around setting up guys on the interior. It's really going to be more for him hunting his shot, because that's kind of where their offensive advantages are tonight. It's going to be SGA going one-on-one against the perimeter defenders. So I think it'll be more points than assists for SGA. And the price to me was just too good to pass up. I hate rooting for an under for the guy. I love the guy, but got to bet prices. So
yeah, big spread in that game. The Grizzlies have been bad, but they've been getting a little bit better on the defensive end. I think that they could give them a game, double-digit spread in that one. Okay, my final pick of the show today. I like the Lakers to cover the first half spread, -2.5, with the New York Knicks in town. So slow starts on the road for the Knicks. Check this out. Opponent first half EFG percentage of 64.1 in their last 5 road games. Now, to put into perspective how bad that is, 64.1, the Hawks ranked dead last in opponent EFG percentage on the season at 57.7. Now, complete contrast here for the Lakers defense at home. They have an opponent first half EFG of 49.1 in their last 5 home games. We have the Lakers here coming off a loss. This has been a good spot to back them in the first half lately. They're coming out strong after a loss. First half wins of 13, 16, and 17. After their last 3 losses. So I like the Lakers to have a good first half there versus the Knicks in Los Angeles tonight. John, bring it home for us. Luka, what do you like for him, or what do you not like for him?
Yeah, even again, like I said, the theme's kind of just a couple scary bets to hit the button on, but I think they're really good prices. So Luka Doncic under 9.5 assists is +130 at DraftKings. So for Doncic, this really comes down. This isn't even necessarily a bet about Doncic, just more of a bet on Derek Lively not playing. So Derek Lively is their center. rookie center from Duke. He's already been ruled out for tonight's game. He is a huge lob threat. Like, that is his game. Like, dunks around the rim, pick and roll with Luka, lob it up, easy dunk, easy assist. You know, if Luka's driving and they got to send help, one cutter, bang, a huge, massive dunk from Lively. Those, when that's not there and you're being replaced by Dwight Powell, most likely in the lineup, or they might go smaller. They probably can't go smaller because they're playing the Nuggets. But if they, you know, when that's being replaced with Dwight Powell, when you miss those like two, three easy assists because Lively's converting, you know, a pass and it's a dunk, right? You're not relying on 3-point shooting. That's kind of a problem when, especially when Luka, you know, his assist tolls are usually 7.5, 8.5. Now we're up to 9.5 because he's playing really well right now. So when you're up 9.5 and like juice is at like the -150 range, and now you're missing your big lob threat, that you got to go under. That's why I'm going under. This is also, you know, the +130, it was DraftKings was +130 and FanDuel was +126 when I bet these. Everyone else was hanging around about even money. So these were kind of like two rogue prices where I thought you could get after the Doncic prop here, and that really elevated, you know, the expected value on these bets as well.
Okay, there we go. Six total bets from John and I. John, I asked our two previous guests, are you in the Christmas spirit? Do you have all your Christmas shopping done?
Christmas spirit, not really. shopping, no. I'm going to Florida, so it's kind of, I won't be here for like the cold snow weather. I'm going for Florida a week, so kind of different Christmas vibes for me this year.
Now, what a tip that I have for the viewers. Some of you guys will be able to pull this off. Some of you won't be able to pull it off, and it's too late to pull it off this year. But if you can make the arrangement with your significant other that you don't exchange gifts whatsoever, it will make your holiday season just completely stress-free. My wife and I have been doing this for 4 or 5 years now, and it's incredible. We just got to get stuff for the kids, and it's easy. Paw Patrol, Nintendo, Spider-Man, very easy. Some baseball stuff, you know what I mean? But yeah, it just relieves the stress. You don't have to go through the whole awkwardness of asking for a receipt. How often do you exchange gifts with your significant other and it's something you don't really like? And just use the money, put it towards a vacation, a trip to Florida maybe, or just yes, something for yourself. That's what I would recommend to all the viewers out there. So John will be with us though for the rest of the week, Thursday and Friday's NBA action. We're also going to have John on for our Before You Bet Christmas Day betting special. Obviously we're going to cover the five NBA games there, but, until Thursday, John, let the good people know where they can find your work.
Yeah. At covers.com. I usually break down all of these, player prop picks that I make. I write a daily article about the prop picks and, usually some game previews too, but you can find a breakdown for all three of those picks I just gave out on covers.com. And you can find sometimes more bets on Twitter just because if they come up later when I'm not working.
Yeah, 7-0 for John there with his NBA, 12-2 for me, NFL Saturday and Sunday. So we are absolutely cooking here. Hopefully we can keep that going here tonight. Let's just end the show right from here. We're going to be back with you guys on Thursday. Thank you guys very much for watching. Keep your eyes on my Twitter though today. If they announce that Jalen Hurts is going to play, I think I might like the first half over in the game. So keep your eyes peeled for that. We'll see if Hurts is going to play. Best of luck with your bets tonight, and we will catch you guys again on Thursday. Same time, same place. Make sure you are subscribed. We'll see you then.